Well, I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I'd like to read this section once again, verses 9 to verse 13. It's familiar to us, and yet we must be careful that even though the Word of God is familiar to us, we must be careful to come back and be reminded of what it says and simply to demonstrate in so doing that the things that we are considering, the assertions that we are making, the instructions that we are giving are those that are firmly rooted in the Word. And it is the Word of God that is speaking. So in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ giving instructions about proper prayer, having given warning in the previous verses about prayer that is not fitting, now giving the model prayer, giving instructions for proper prayer, beginning in verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The one who truly prays the prayer, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The one who truly, genuinely prays that prayer, not as a matter of rote, as a part of a liturgical church service, but the person who, with heart and mind, through the work of the Spirit in their lives, prays those things sincerely, will, with haste, pray God to supply to them all that they require for God to be honored in their own lives. For the one who prays this prayer in truth, the desire is that the prayer find answer, beginning in their own life. You cannot pray this prayer truthfully, in all sincerity, and not immediately call out to God for the things necessary to that prayer being answered in your own life. For this reason, the Lord Jesus, having addressed all that concerns God and His relations with His creation, with His creature, continues now in His instruction about true and proper prayer by laying out a three comprehensive, man-focused concerns. Essentially, these three concerns that have man as their focus are rooted in and they rise out of the three God-focused concerns that we've been considering over the last several weeks. In a sense, these three requests are a prayer in response to the preceding portion of the prayer. Having directed our attention to God and what concerns Him, we now give attention to ourselves and what concerns us in light of that reality. This response is an experientially oriented response. It's a response that addresses, that it relates to the experience of the one who's making that request. It's a response relating to the phases of the prayer's experience, his present, his past, and his future. The petitioner begins with their immediate situation, with their present experience, their today, right now, right here, right now. And then they move on to address the past and finally the future. This prayer responds to the reality of God and the corresponding concerns for His honor essentially engulfs the whole of our experience. Who God is and what concerns Him engulfs the whole of our experience, always, at all times, in all places. The whole of our being, both in the sense of our person as well as in the sense of our life in this world, is always viewed in relationship to God, who He is and what He what is due him. That's the proper perspective. In this, we see how this prayer rises from and reinforces a true biblical worldview, a way of looking at life, looking at your life, looking at the world in which you live, in a way that is in keeping with the truth, that is in keeping with the Word of God, that is in keeping with reality, with the way things really are. God is the eternal, transcendent One who defines all things, who dictates all things, who determines all things. He is the defining reality for everything that is. And honor to Him is the chief concern in all creation. It's God's concern, and it's the creature's concern. And now, with these man-focused concerns for God's honor, we respond to the reality of who God is. What we are praying is essentially a response to who God is and what He is worthy of. As the petitioner takes up the theme of God's honor, his concern is that God receive the honor that is due Him right now. And so the first request that the Lord Jesus gives us in this particular section of the prayer is the request, give us this day our daily bread. In light of who you are, in light of what you are worthy of, give us this day our daily bread. Now we want to take this simple request and we want to unpack it. We want to break it down under three simple headings. We want to take the elements of the request and just unload them as to what it is that we are requesting here, what it is that Jesus is saying to us we are to pray in this model prayer. And so we want to consider the request, give us. And then secondly, this day, our daily. And finally, bread. And so, give us. Give us. This first response to the reality of God, this simple prayer, give us. We have a request. We come to God with a request. We are making confession of our need. We are confessing before God that we are those absolutely dependent upon Him. Give us. With this prayer, we recognize and we acknowledge that we are completely, absolutely dependent upon God for all things. That everything that we are, that everything that we have, we receive from Him. That in and of ourselves, we have nothing. Everything that we are, everything that we have comes from Him, whether it be our abilities, our opportunities, everything comes from Him. Now the thing is, this is a reality that can oftentimes escape us, especially when we are in the strength of life. You know, we have bodily strength, we have our health, and we have sound minds, we have abilities, and we go about our responsibilities, and we work hard, and we earn our money, and we buy our bread, and we provide for ourselves. And there's a sense in which we have this appearance of being independent. We've all heard people say, "Well, I am self-sufficient. You know, I'm off the grid. I'm self-sufficient. I don't need anybody." Well, in the absolute sense, that's not true. It could never be true. Now, there is a sense in which there is truth to it, because if we do have strength and we do have ability, we are responsible to use those things to care for ourselves and for those around us. But ultimately, everything that we are, everything that we have, we receive from God. We have nothing of ourselves. We are wholly and completely dependent upon God at every point. Now, this is the clear testimony of Scripture. I'm reminded of it many, many times. Look with me at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. The Apostle Paul is on Mars Hill, the city of Athens. He's been invited there by the philosophers, the scholars, to explain this religion that he's been talking about as he's walked through the streets of Athens. And as the Apostle Paul begins to set before them the identity of the God that they do not know. Remember, he said, I perceive that you are very religious. There was an idol on every corner. And they were so conscientious in their religion that they had an idol that was marked to the unknown God, just in case they'd missed one. And the Apostle Paul says, this one that you do not know, I declare to you. And beginning in verse 24, he says this, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by men, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. And here's our point. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. This God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, gives to all mankind life, the principle of life itself, breath, that which sustains our physical life in this world, and everything else that goes with life. It all comes from his hand. Everything that we are, everything that we have, comes from him. Psalm 145, verses 15 to 17. We looked at this in our call to worship this morning. Here in this psalm, again, there is this testimony to the reality that everything in all creation looks to God for everything that it needs. Verses 15 and 16. The eyes of all look to you. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. It is as God opens his hand that our needs are met. All things, all creatures look to him and receive from him all that they require. The psalmist in Psalm 104, verse 27 to 30 says, these all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. These are three witnesses from the Scriptures that confirm the reality that the creature is wholly dependent upon God. Everything that we are, everything that we have, we receive ultimately from the hand of God. And so in this prayer response to the truth of who God is, we give tacit acknowledgement to the reality that God is the source of all our good. Give us this day our daily bread. Dispense to us. We are needy. We have nothing of ourselves. The strength that we have, you provide to us. The breath that sustains our physical life comes from your hand. The opportunities that we enjoy to work and provide for ourselves, you give those to us. You are the one who causes the seed to germinate and to grow. You strengthen the farmer so that he can harvest the wheat. You give wisdom to the baker so that he can make the bread, so that we can buy it and provide for ourselves. Everything comes from the hand of God. This request testifies to God's genuine interest and concerns for these needs. It testifies to the essential goodness of God. The one who prevails on him, give us, grant to me everything that I need, is working with the understanding that the God to whom he prays hears him and is interested and concerned. God's provision for our bodily, physical needs is an extension of his providential preservation of the creation. God at work, continuing to uphold the creation that he has made. This is the testimony of Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. We won't take time to look at it. You can mark it if you'd like to look at it later. By the very breath of his mouth, God created the world, and by that same breath, he preserves it. With this request, give us, we acknowledge that reality. We give God what is his due as the source and the supplier of all that we need. We honor Him in the simple act of asking. Did you ever think of that? In the simple act of asking God, acknowledging Him as the source of all our good, we are honoring Him because in truth He is the source. By making this request, we avoid the sin of robbing God of His glory by failing to recognize and acknowledge Him as our source. This is one of the ways that man falls short of the glory of God. This is one of the ways that man sins. He fails to acknowledge that the God of creation is the one upon whom he is dependent. This was Adam's sin in the garden. He turned away his trust from God to trusting himself. You may be here this morning and you have not yet come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The testimony of Scripture is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And one of the ways that we do that is failing to acknowledge Him at every point in our lives. It's by His grace that He has made provision for us to be forgiven, have our eyes opened to the reality that He is a God of grace and mercy, that He is a Savior. By simple faith in Christ, we can be forgiven and brought into life eternal in relationship with God. I was sitting at the intersection of 122nd and Sunnyside this week, and there was a company truck that pulled up beside me, and on the back window of the truck there was a bumper sticker that said, "My business, I did." And when I read that, I immediately thought of Nebuchadnezzar's words as he stood in the gardens there in the great city of Babylon. You remember this? You remember the account? And he's looking over this great city, this great king, and he looks over the city and he says, "Is this not great Babylon that I have made?" And what was the result of that? What happened? God humbled him, and for 7 years he roamed around like a beast, eating the grass of the field, because he failed to give God the honor that was due him. And I don't know if that was the thought behind that bumper sticker or not, but that's what it made me think of. My business, I did. I did it myself. Because God is the one who supplies us with all things, all that we accomplish of good ultimately is attributed to His goodness to us. So that this request points us to thanksgiving and praise to God for all the God-honoring fruit that is produced in our lives. Now the thing is, we need to remember as we work through this prayer that the prayer is very focused. It's not just a prayer for God's provision for our needs generally with no specific end in view. No, it is very specifically directed towards God's honor, God honored in us. God honored through us. This is not just a prayer asking God to supply us with everything that we need for life. It is a prayer asking God to supply us with everything we need for a life that honors Him. Not for everything we need for the life that we would like to have, for life as we would love to have it be, but rather for everything essential for a life that glorifies Him. Everything we require to honor Him in the station in life in which we find ourselves. Where we are today. Where we are as He has stationed us. Not only geographically, not only here in Damascus, Oregon, but in every way. Every aspect, everything that goes into who we are and what we are today. And so we notice as we continue on, the prayer continues, "Give us this day," or "give us today our daily." He's focusing it very specifically. Give us today bread for today. It is our bread. It is the bread that is apportioned to us. That portion that is allotted to us. That is what we seek. Now the thing is, when we think about this concept of today, When we think about this, our today is more than simply the present 24-hour period that we are presently passing through. Our today is comprised of everything about us at this particular moment. It is made up of everything that we are and everything that we are about. As I've said, not just our physical location, but our situation. What is your situation today? What is your situation with respect to your health? What is your situation with respect to your work? What is your situation with respect to your relationships? What is your situation with respect to your finances? What are the opportunities that are there in front of you? What are the obligations? Everything that is part of who you are and what you are is a part of your today. Absolutely everything that is a part of you today is your today. And that today is the station, it is the position in which God has sovereignly and providentially placed you. You are where you are in all of these respects by divine design. Now, there is a sense in which you are there as a result of decisions that you have made, of actions that you have taken, paths that you have followed. But ultimately, where you are is where God has placed you. It's a station to which He has called you. You are there by divine design. And again, this is the testimony of the Scriptures. This is what we would understand from the Word of God itself. If you look back at Acts chapter 17, the passage that we read just earlier, the immediately preceding or succeeding verse 26, he says this, "And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. This God of heaven, who gives to man all things, made from one man all nations to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." Did you get that? Having determined their allotted periods and boundaries and the boundaries of their dwelling place, where they are and when they are there, God has determined. Where you are, God has put you there. God has placed you sovereignly in that situation. Everything about you is by design. Just as an example of one man's experience, in Psalm 105, in verses 16 to 19, in this chronicle of the history of the people of Israel, we read this. Concerning God, when He summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread. He's speaking of the time of Jacob, when Jacob was in the land. When He summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, He had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what God had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Now you think about that. Joseph, sold by his brothers into slavery into Egypt, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and imprisoned for a period of time. There in the prison, ultimately by divine design. Joseph's today was by divine design. He was there by the providential purposes of God. For God's purposes in him and God's purposes through him. Now we know that God's purposes were good because through Joseph he brought salvation and a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's just an example of one in a difficult situation, in a difficult circumstance, but specifically identified as a situation ordained of God. And so it is with us. Our today is a station in life to which God has sovereignly called us. And His purpose for calling us there is His honor. His purpose for having you where you are, with all that's going on where you are, is ultimately that He be glorified in and through you. As you trust in Him, as you rest in Him, as you hope in Him, as you wait upon Him. The request that's being made here in this first request is that God would supply to us everything that we need to accomplish His purpose, that His purpose be fulfilled. So he prays, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, in the most basic sense, the bread of which he speaks refers to what? It refers to that staple food that sustains our physical life. Again, it's a confession of our dependence upon Him. It's a reminder that when we sit down to the table and we enjoy that meal, that ultimately comes from the hand of God. That's why we bow our heads and pray. That's why we give thanks for the food. We are acknowledging that this has been dispensed to us from the hand of God. But in the larger picture of the prayer, in the larger context, this bread is not limited merely to physical food. Rather, it represents all that is basic and essential to life. Not just food, but shelter and clothing, health and strength, all of those things. And again, it's not limited only to the physical and the material. It incorporates even those things essential to our spiritual strength and well-being. In fact, I would suggest to you that is the ultimate, fundamental, primary interest and concern there. The bread represents everything that is essential to God being honored in my life, in every facet of my life. Physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. And again, it is not everything that I require in these various areas in order to experience life in this world as I would love to have it be. Rather, it is everything that I require in this area in order that God would be honored in me. Central and foundational to these areas, as I've said already, is the spiritual. To pray, give us this day our daily bread, is to pray, God, grant to me everything that I require to honor you in the station of life to which you've called me. First of all, grant to me a knowledge of your will and the power of your Spirit. Grant to me a knowledge of your will. Grant to me a knowledge of Christ. Grant to me to know the mind of Christ, to know you. Grant to me the heart of Christ, to love you. Grant the work of your Spirit to transform me so that I might honor you in this, in all that my life involves. Grant to me, O God, my daily bread. And grant to me not only the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ, not only the knowledge of your will, but grant to me also the power of your Spirit. Grant to me, O God, the inner working of the Spirit of God to produce the fruit of Christ-likeness in me. The necessary power, the necessary enabling, if I am to follow in Christ's footsteps, grant that to me, O God. In response to the truth of who God is, in response to the reality of what is due Him, the infinite, transcendent God deserving all honor. Understanding that and appreciating that, praying that sincerely, my immediate response is, give me, O God, grant to me this day everything that I require to honor you in the station in life to which you've called me. Whatever it is that you have purposed to apportion to me, whatever portion is mine, grant it to me that you may be honored in my life. The concern is that God be honored at every point. With this request, we confess our absolute dependence upon God. We are reminded of what we are. With this prayer, we seek that which He has apportioned to us for today, for who we are and where we are. With this prayer, we seek everything essential to God being honored in and through us in this particular station in life to which He's called me. May this be our prayer continually. May these be the words that issue from our lips as our legs swing out from under the bed sheets and head for the floor. Grant to me, O God, everything that I require to honor You in whatever this day holds, whatever station You've called me to today. May it be that You are honored in me, honored in my own heart and mind, in the secret place, honored in my actions, honored in my words, honored in my responses, honored in my goals, honored in my ambitions, honored in every respect. May this be our prayer. May we be such people. Let's pray.